morning. So my name is Magali Angeloni, and I work at the Rhode Island Department of Health. I am the Performance Improvement Manager, which basically translates into the person who is leading the agency to apply for accreditation, prepare and apply for accreditation. And I want to give a special thanks to Daniel because he already provided the whole background of what I was going to tell you about accreditation, so that is always useful. So thanks for that. I wanted to ask, I am not sure, I don't see any familiar faces. So how many of you know what is the what is Rhode Island called? The nickname of Rhode Island? Okay, one person, yes. Who's
the Ocean State?
It's the Ocean State, thank you. So yeah, that's the Ocean State. You know, Rhode Island is very, very small, so my commute is usually like a mile and two. So I drive like 5 minutes to get home. This morning I get up at 5 so I can get into the train at 6 so then I can be here. So by noontime I will be ready to take my nap, just for you to appreciate how, I appreciate how other people have to commute, you know, have long commutes every day. So what I'm going to talk to you today about is the lessons that we have learned from quality improvement, performance measure, and cultural change that has happened in our agency recently. I have nothing to disclose. Nobody paid me enough to even, you know, to be here today. So anyway, so about the Rhode Island Department of Health. So we are at the Ocean State. We are only one state health department. We serve a little over 1 million people, and that is like the size of like small city and town in the larger state. So then we are really, really small. We don't have any local departments of health. So then this is it. This is it. It's only us. We have to serve. We manage all the budgets, and we provide all the services through contracts and local agencies for the most part. We have about like 450, something like that, employees. Our budget is $126 million, and 40 to 50% of that goes to just base salaries. And we are hoping to apply for accreditation in early 2014. That's our plan anyway. So I want to talk about this vision, and of course we know what's the vision of public health. We want to protect the health of all the people that we serve. So that is our large vision. But for these particular purposes, I wanted to talk about our experience in regards to performance measurement and that. So our new director, we had a new director in 2011, and he came over and he said, well, I would like to have a centralized, ongoing, agency-wide reporting of performance measures. And so this was supposed to be something easy, right? If you think about the theory, you know, behind public health and the core functions and all that, this is nothing really special to require. But what happens is that there's a lot of things that came to that. So, okay, an ongoing reporting, you know, performance measures. All the programs already have that, but we really didn't have that in place. So this is, I tried to put in one slide everything that Daniel, you know, already said, but this is it, bear with me. So you know about the core functions of public health, you know about the 10 essentials. Those essentials are translated into the 12 accreditation domains that we have, and those have standards, measures, and required documentation. Part of domain 9 has to do with the quality improvement, and we do also use the turning point model for that, and that has these four areas: the performance standards, the reporting, quality improvement, and performance measures. So we are talking today about the performance measures end of it, because quality improvement has already begun in our agency. We already have performance standards and a reporting mechanism, but all of these have to be integrated. So we are using the PDSA model, the Deming model of quality improvement, the Plan, Do, Study, Act. And everybody in the agency is involved in this. You know, everybody has to do the core functions. There are domain teams that we have put together to assemble the documentation. Everyone has to do performance measurement, and we have teams who are doing quality improvement. So pretty much everyone in the agency is involved at some level or another. And what happens is that basically all of these is sort of like a one part, one thing, one machine that has to work coordinately in order to work. Okay, going back to the vision. So we wanted to have a centralized, ongoing, agency-wide reporting of performance measures. And what happens is that then we came up with all of these questions. Okay, so centralized, where? Okay, so here where we begin, you know, studying the implementation of things. Well, so then we, you know, and who's going to do it? what is the audience? Why are we doing this? And what's the purpose? What measures? How frequently? How are we going to do it? And one of the things that I heard, I don't know about you guys, but all of us who work in public health, every time that we come up with a new idea, it could be an excellent idea. But what do we hear? I heard from my people, we don't have the time for that. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I know. I know that's important, Magali. But actually, I have a grant that I have to write, so I don't really have time in the next 3 months to do anything on that. And, you know, so that is the usual answer. So anyway, so we got, you know, we figure some system, you know, not a perfect system, but we have it. We created a shared drive. The agency leadership is the audience for the report. Whose job is going to do it? Well, that was me, since it was assigned to me. I'm the one who's going to do it. And the purpose, performance management, program measures, and we figure that in order for us to design or to determine how many programs we have, there were so many ways in which we could have done that. But we figured that what we are going to do is we were going to use the budget document that we prepare for the state every year. And in that budget, there is a total of 47 programs mentioned. So that's the number that we went with to get started. So we have an Excel spreadsheet in a shared drive. It has multi-user access, so they don't report to me. They just go into this sheet, and then they enter it, their information every month. They save it, and that's how we do it. There is a living document. I tell them, okay, listen, the fact that you have already proposed some performance measures, that's great, but that doesn't mean that this is the end of your job, because things change, programs change, policy changes, data tells you something different. So don't ever expect that this is going to be the end, and then all you have to do is just filling a number every month, because that is not the case. We're going to come back to you. We're going to have an open, ongoing conversation about what really needs to be looked at. So, and even we are starting to include in those measures the backlog, because some people say, well, you know, I don't have data entry staff, and I have 10,000 records that are still in paper, and I haven't been able to figure that out. So then we are even starting to track the backlog of some things in there. So that is, you know, very clear for each one of the programs. And my director likes to have a color code, so if something has changed for the good, he, you know, from the last month to, you know, from the previous month to now, he wants to have it in green, and if it's the other way around, then it will be in red. And there is some notes that we include in there, because sometimes what happens is that the number has gone up and down or down because there was staff vacations that they weren't able to do it, as opposed to because there was really an outbreak or something else going on. So that's important. So how we did it is basically we have in that one page that we are, you know, that we ask everybody to do, we tell them that there is going to be three types of measures. So one, the activity measures, those are just simple counts, you know, like the number of specimens received, the number of cases identified, the number of tests that have been done in a given month. We have quality measures, which are proportions of specimens analyzed within like certain time frame, number of cases closed within the last 30 days or whatever the program defines that. So we have quality measures, and then we have the outcome measures, which are like the long term, you know, the incidence of lead poisoning or something like that. And we ask the programs to report that on like every year or every 6 months or something like that. So this is kind of what it looks like. So here we go. The director came in like the middle of 2011, and he said, I want this to get started right away. And we said, and he said, okay, so then whoever is ready, you know, just start providing that. So in July, we had seven of the 47 measure seven programs provided information, and we started tracking. And a year later, okay, so in June of 2012, then let's see what happens. Oh, by the way, this is the one page. This is what it looks like. So basically, we have the activity measures or whatever the measures, the description on the left. We have who is reporting, what is the data source, and then we have this ongoing reporting for every month. And I only show here every month. I put together these to show only the most recent 6 months of data. There is a lot more, but I only have these, you know, to show the most recent 6 months. Sometimes there is the green and red, and there is a notes on the back. So a year later, after, you know, talking about these and whatever, so we had 27 out of the 47 programs sending a report. So then we started to say, you know, okay, well, now we have to do something about it, because programs already have measures. They know that they have to collect this data. They know, and then they have, you know, there's this common sense thing, right? That they know that they have to be measuring what they are doing. So we decided to start a quality improvement project here, because we needed to figure out exactly what's going on. So we wanted to increase the number of programs submitting the measures from 27 to 45. I figured that there could be two that, you know, I'm going to, you know, give them a little more time, but, you know, most people should be doing this. So here we go. Like I said before, what I usually hear is, I don't have time, I'm writing a grant, I'm on vacation, I just went to surgery, and blah, blah, blah. That's why I can't do it. So when we sat down and we used the PDSA tools, and then, you know, we got a group of people together, and then we asked, so why is it, you know, what is preventing you from submitting your performance measure? This is what I heard. Can you hear me okay if I talk like this? Okay. So basically, what we heard is four major reasons. One is, well, if I give you my data, you're going to know that I'm not doing very well, that my program is not doing really great. And I don't want to do that, because then you're going to ask me to do something about it. So, you know, so that was one reason why they are not doing it. The other reason is they said, well, if I show you my data and you feel like I need to do something else, then I'll have to do more work. That means that I really have to enter all the data, I really have to figure out how to change my program, so I have to do that. That's why I want to do it. The other people said, well, but even if I did it, if I give you the data and it's visible and it's accessible to everybody, specifically the director, they're going to say, what's the benefit? What's my benefit? You know, it's just a waste of time. I don't want to do that. I, you know, there's more other things that I want to do. And then finally, some people said, well, if I give you the information, I mean, this is not what we were asked to do before. We are not used to do this. You know, we can give you the data, but it's, you know, but you're going to find out that I'm not doing very well. You're going to ask me to do something that, you know, something new that I don't have the time because I'm writing my grant. And what's the benefit? And this is actually not what we are supposed to. We are not expected that you would ask us to do that. Well, now, you know, and I have to tell you that I've been in the agency for over 20 years now at the Rhode Island Department of Health. I know most of the people there. We know each other. And I didn't expect that this would be the answer. I really thought that they didn't really have time for that. So this is one of the benefits of the quality improvement, that they really came, you know, to the bottom. I really came to the bottom of it. So, you know, so then, well, basically what happened, and this is one of the stories that, you know, that happened in the department, is that years ago, many years, and many directors before this one have said, I want to have a centralized place where, I, you know, all the measures should be there, and I want to be able to see it, and I want to do something about it. Efforts got started, and then they died for different reasons. Resources, time, you know, people change, or the person in charge left, or whatever. All of that died. So then what happened is that when we were talking about the QI, people said, well, we already tried that. But it never worked. So, you know, if I don't provide you my measures, this is also going to die. And then, you know, so then in the end, I don't have to do anything because I know it's going to go away. So that was very important. That was very telling for me because, and they were right. They were right. We were never consistent. And if we were not providing the support and the ongoing use of the data, then why are they going to do it? So that's what's going on. So we work with some of the programs, and then after we completed, 6 months later, we completed the QI project. We had 35 programs providing the performance measures. And by the way, the director has this monthly report. He has the report. He has it right on his desk. And when he meets with the people from the executive committee, the directors of the divisions, he says, oh, by the way, I noticed that, you know, the data on the HIV program has changed for that. Or, oh, there is no staff in here. What's the problem? The backlog is growing, and I don't understand what's going on. Tell me about that. So he is using it. So now people are saying, oh, so he knows, and he reads that. Or he, in a conversation, he says, 10% of, you know, of whatever, you know, has happened, and then everybody's like, oh, so he's reading it. So that, I think, is the difference. So the lessons learned from this perspective, now that I have given you all the specifics on what happened. Well, the dashboard, that's what we call it. The dashboard has benefits. So because we are looking at it every month, and because I'm asking questions every month. So, you know, last month it was 10 reports received. Now you have 150. Is there a typo, or is it that, you know, what happened? Because I do have to notice that, because if I don't, my director does, and then he asks me, and then I have to do it anyway. So I go back to the programs, and I ask them, so what happened? And they said, let me check. And then they go back, they look, and many times there is a technical issue, or in fact there is a typo, or there is a new person. The new person did the report in a different way, and the program manager didn't even know how the report criteria was happening or whatever. And those things would have never happened if it wasn't for the dashboard. The report, like I said, is used. The director uses it every month to talk to the division directors. He asks them questions about it, so everybody knows that this is something we're using all the time. From time to time, we have a leadership meeting every week, and I have my 15 minutes ongoing update at every meeting. And from time to time, I select some of those measures, some of the programs, and they come in and they present to executive committee about what they are doing and what are their challenges and what's going on. So those are the benefits. The consistency. So, I mean, it's a no-brainer, right? We should have this performance measurement system. There's no excuse for not having it. But who's going to do it? So assigning the responsibility is really key, because who is going to do it? They said, yeah, great. Who's going to do it? That's not my job. It's never anybody's job, right? Well, it happens to be my job, the performance improvement manager, which is in my position. It's funded by CDC because of the accreditation and all of that. So that's one of the reasons why I strongly believe in accreditation, because it's providing all the sources and the structure to make this happen. So use the system. And of course, there has to be the buy-in from the leadership. If the director, I always say, when this director leaves and the next one doesn't use it or is not totally engaged with it, it will probably, the effort will probably die down. So, you know, the buy-in from the leadership is important. The 80-20 rule still applies. All of you know about the 80-20 rule. 80% of the effort goes to fix the last 20% of the problem. So it was very easy to do most of the programs at once, because most people are convinced, but the last 20%, the 20% of the programs is going to take me the 80% of the effort to get to. So that still applies. People who are not complying are because they really have a difficulty coming up with measures, or there is no database, or they don't have a program manager, and there's been lots of staffing issues there. Some of the real reasons for that were uncovered, you know, meaning, oh, I don't see the benefit for that, and the past experiences were expected. So basically, we concluded a culture change is needed, and that was the bottom line, and that is the long-term effort, and that's what we need to do. So right now, we have like 40 programs of the 47, and, you know, some of which are in progress developing those measures now. And I just want to say, I don't know if you guys were yesterday at the opening meeting yesterday, and they said something the time for the movement is now. So I think that if the lesson that you can take from here today, I hope that you keep, you know, you take this from me today, is that this is possible, but we need to be consistent. So we need to make a change. It has to be, but it has to get started, and it's not going to be easy. But public health really has to have this structure, and we need to get started now. So it's possible, but we need to change our culture, and that is the change that we have to start now. So that is the time. The time to change is now. So that's where we are, and that is one of the posters that we put together for quality improvement. I'm very happy to contact, feel free to contact me if you have any questions. And I hope that you all who are working on accreditation, good luck with that. Thank you.